All right, let's go right on into the 15th chapter. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. You see, now this we're talking about a filling up of the wrath of God within these seven plagues. And this is a sign. See, this is a sign. In chapter 12, we had a sign woman. This is a sign of moving of these plagues, or signs that God is going to destroy by so many different ways. Then he said, and this just simply gives us a time element that we're looking at the rest of this chapter through. Because at this time, when the wrath of God is in its fullest, I saw as it were a sea of glass mingle with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having harp of God. Now, we know without doubt when these entered in. After the Antichrist became God. So this will be in the latter part of the tribulation. In fact, the latter part of the last 3.5 years. Because these are all of those that got victory over the beast. Now, these join in with the souls under the altar in chapter 6. And you remember they were waiting for some more to be slain. So these are not only those that were slain, the woman in the wilderness, the part of her that was slain, but also the souls under the altar that were there. The ones that got victory over the beast and his number. And they had harps, just like the 144,000 had harps, because they too had a song to sing. And they were ready and willing to sing. From, it looks to me like from verse 2 to 4 is another view of God's grace. This, we saw this sea of glass in chapter 4, but we didn't see the sea of glass mingle with fire in chapter 4, as though this was an addition to the same sea of glass, way out there. And so these had a farther away place than the other. But they had a song. They had a song of Moses, the servant of God. And no doubt these also will be servants of God. Now you see, these are not the 144,000. Because the 144,000 were taken away before the mark of the beast came on. See, they went to heaven the same time Satan is cast out of heaven. We read that in the 12th chapter. And so this is not the 144,000. But these are the ones that will be slain, as I said. And then we have the mixture of fire on this sea of glass. It tells us what they came out of. That they died in victory. And notice here that they stand in before, let's see what verse says that. Verse 2. The four living creatures, you see, 24 elders, they sat. They not stand. They had thrones to sit on. These didn't have any thrones. And they were way out on this sea of glass. And then we read they had a song of Moses. Now, in the scriptures, we have two songs that are attributed to Moses. One's in the 15th chapter of Exodus, which we all know, the horse and the rider hath he cast into the sea. And the other one's in the 31st chapter of Deuteronomy, the last verses, and also entered into the 32nd chapter, I believe. We have another song of Moses. This kind of hints to us that these are Jews, mostly Jews anyway, that will be singing this song. And then we have the song of the Lamb, speaking of him being slain again, song about his death upon a cross, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Now the word saint here, a better rendering of that actually should read King of nations. The word ethnos, that's translated nations, it's also translated Gentiles, and it's any people that is distinguished from Jews. Anybody that isn't a Jew is called a Gentile. And so here we see him as king not only of Jews, which are primarily what we see in verse 1 and 2, but also the Gentiles. Now the same word is translated nations in verse 4. And so there's Psalm, who shall not fear thee, O Lord? and glorify thy name, for thou only art holy, the holiness of God. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Now this is kind of prophetic too, because in the future, all nations will come and worship him. It's going to be Israel, the redeemed of Israel, the overcomers out of Israel, that's going to evangelize the world. It isn't the church. It is not the church's job to evangelize the world. It's Israel's job to do that. Of course we evangelize. Of course we send missionaries. But we're not going to evangelize the world, the nation. We evangelize people. We talk to people about Christ. In fact, if we love the Lord, we can't help but talk about Christ. If the bride cannot help but to evangelize, because we speak what's on our heart. And if you fall in love with Jesus, you're going to tell everybody you meet about the one you've fallen in love with. And that's in the natural as well as the spiritual, isn't it? Did you ever tell anybody about your husband and wife when you got married? I'm sure you did. Well, anyway, the nations will be evangelized, for judgment are made manifest. God is going to judge all things. And after that I looked, and behold, a temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. Now, all of heaven is open, and here we see God's holy temple and the tabernacle of the testimony. This is the dwelling place of God. Now, we talked about the tabernacle in the wilderness. In the holies of holies was considered a shrine. This was where God dwelt. And so the word here, temple of the tabernacle, actually should be translated the shrine of the tabernacle. And this is the place of truth. This is the place of God. Now the tabernacle was a temporary place. Christ is the truth of this tabernacle. You might study the 8th chapter of Hebrews along with this, and also the 21st chapter of Revelation. I think it's verse 3. And he says, the tabernacle of God is with men. God's dwelling place opened up, and God's testimony. The word testimony. See, in the tabernacle in the wilderness, in the mercy seat, then the Ark of the Covenant was under the mercy seat. In the Ark of the Covenant, there were three things. There was Aaron's rod that budded, a pot of manna, and the covenant. Now this is all brought forth at this time. And the seven angels came out of the temple, clothed with pure and white linen, and their breast girded about with girdle. Now this is the holiness of God shown forth in these wonderful messengers that come forth. All of God's doing is because of his holiness. And these angels, seven angels in verse 6, are the same as the seven living creatures as we have in verse 7. Now somebody might say, well, how can the seven beasts given to these seven angels these bowls? Well, even though they are the same body, doesn't mean that the whole body functions alike, does it? Your foot and your hand is the same body, but it does different things. And now what we're saying, these are all full overcomers. These are all of the bride of Christ. But they have different functions and working within the structure of this holy body that Jesus is going to marry. And so the four beasts and the seven angels are the same of the same body. And they were given the seven great big bowls full of wrath of God who liveth forever and ever. Now, at this time now, the temple is filled with the glory of God. This temple is opened up. Is so full of the glory of God and the power of God that no man was able to enter in the temple until after the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. All of his glory, all of his power shone forth in the final judgment of that day. And so much glory, so much glory. When the tabernacle was dedicated, the glory of God was there. When the temple in Jerusalem was dedicated, the glory of God was there to where they couldn't minister. So also here, how great his glory is, and no one could say, I was mistreated.